If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm so glad that whosoever will meant me. So glad that there's Calvary for us to point back to. Songwriter said in that one song that we sang today, "Lest I Forget." That is a real point of consideration for all of us. I know we point to it and say, well, it's a sign of age. But there's some people that are much older than I am that their mind is incredibly sharp. There's some people that are younger than I am that use that excuse. It's age. Sometimes I'm not sure that it's simply age. I think that sometimes our forgetfulness is other factors. Maybe too busy, not focused, not paying attention close enough or long enough. Lest I forget. Take me back to Calvary. Take me back to Gethsemane. Take me back to those points of special interest so that I can be reminded again. Maybe this morning that's what this message is about, reminding us. You know, there's not any stories. There's no parables in Scripture that we're not familiar with. Jesus' teachings are common to us. They're understood by us. So much that we can nearly quote them, we can give the gist of the stories. But I think that there's oftentimes that we fail to look at how it applies to us. In this particular story, a question is asked to begin the parable or begin the story. Have you ever asked questions? I'm sure that we've all at one point or another asked some questions. Maybe we've even asked some questions that we didn't like the answer to. Or at least the answer made us uncomfortable. Of course, if it made us uncomfortable, it's a possibility that we didn't like it. Because it's not too often that we want to be made to feel uncomfortable. But as Jesus is our example, and maybe you could even call this Jesus our example number two, as we looked recently at him as our example and to follow his pattern. This could be considered that as well, because Jesus is giving us something to do. As a matter of fact, summarizing what Jesus said, he said, "Go and do." That's how he finishes this particular story. It began when somebody, I guess out of the crowd, you could say, stood up and asked him, "And Master, what do I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus gave him a question in response. "What do you think is written in the law? What do you think is there for you? What is it that you believe is going to give you or provide you eternal life?" That's found in verse 25 of Luke 10. In verse 26 is his response. And so then the lawyer comes back in the 27th verse, and he said, "Well, you got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart." Man, that's a subject in itself. Really digs into the very core of our being when we look at that statement that this lawyer gave in response to the question of Christ. "With all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And well, you have to love your neighbor as yourself, he said. Wow. He really laid it on the line here this morning. This lawyer that was, according to the King James translation, he was tempting the master, tempting Jesus. But we find that his response to the response of question from Christ was right down the line. Jesus didn't have anything to argue with on his answer. Love God, love people. Isn't that the basis of our relationship with Christ, is relationship with others as well? Relationship with God, relationship with people. Jesus gave him an answer then. Yeah, you've answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Apparently the lawyer wasn't satisfied. He was a little bit uncomfortable perhaps with that response. He thought for sure that Jesus would venture off on some other tangent or some other avenue and chase a rabbit down in the bushes somewhere that would release him from some of the things that he may have been guilty of. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus just said, you spoke well, go and do it. Live that way. So we see that the lawyer came back to him and said, well, who is my neighbor? Have you ever asked that question? Who do you live by? Well, I live around all my family or all my friends. I live in a community of believers. I go to church with my neighbors. Everybody around me pretty much. And so apparently this lawyer was wanting that to be his answer as well, or his justification as well. Who then is my neighbor? Get me off the hook here. I don't want to have to go and do this thing if it's going to branch out very far. I want it to be narrowed down. I want you to give me a specific answer. I want you to tell me who exactly my neighbor is. And so Jesus gives him an answer that may have caused him some great discomfort, may even have caused him a rise in his blood pressure, a rise in his pulse. Maybe he got angry with him. We don't have that record. We don't see that part of it. But Jesus begins to unfold the story of a man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And apparently that road was a very treacherous road. Apparently that was a very dangerous place to be. And seldom from history do we know or understand that people traveled that road by themselves. It was always with somebody. But this story, Jesus said, a certain person, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And apparently he was all by himself. You know the story as well as I do. We can repeat this, the gist of the story, that he fell among thieves and they beat him. They took his raiment. They took anything that was of value to him. They left him as though he were dead. It says that he was half dead. But they left him as though he was dead. Didn't care anything more about him. They got what they wanted and they were off. Now let's just take a look at that from the physical standpoint. He would have died, wouldn't he? That's the end of the story. He would have died. So physically, what is there to really talk about? He was mauled. He was beaten, bruised. He was... essentially, he was murdered. Physically, the story's over. But what about the spiritual side of this story? Jesus doesn't give just a physical story to give a physical answer. He's giving a physical story for a spiritual answer. So what is the spiritual side to this particular or this part of the story? There's people around that are trekking the road of life that is dangerous. There's all kinds of pitfalls, there's all kinds of snares, there's all kinds of robbery and wounds and cruelty that is around. Robbery is, spiritual robbery would be those things that are robbing an individual of their spiritual life, of their interaction with God or their relationship with God, and trying to destroy them in that sense of robbing them of the spiritual senses. We find also that in the physical that we will see that there are wounds of sin that are rampant around us. It doesn't take us very long to find somebody, if we're looking for them, we can find somebody that has been wounded by sin. As a matter of fact, we don't even have to leave our families until we are made very well aware that there is the wounds of sin that are rampant around us. People have been robbed and have been wounded by sin. It's a common occurrence. I'm not trying to be dismal this morning. I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture. That's the way that it is. And going along with the story that Jesus gives us on the spiritual side, that's the reality of our lives. I don't know, a week goes by, if there's any interaction with people around me at all, that I don't come up with somebody that I feel like wrapping my arms around and try to express to them that Jesus cares because of the grief that they carry, because of the wounds that they have. And oftentimes they try to hide those wounds. They cover them up. They paint themselves up with all the prettiness of life. And you can't see the inner wounds and the inner markings of sin. The cruelty of sin. It's all around us. But here he was. He was left to die. Verse 31, and by chance. I'm a little bit taken aback by that phrase, by chance. Do you believe in chance? That's what the scripture's giving us. But by chance. Jesus is giving us here this story. By chance, there was an individual that came down that same roadway. By chance, that person came down this way. He was trying to make it appear as though there was nothing spectacular, nothing specific about it. It was just the occurrence of everyday life. Here was a priest that was walking that same way that same day. I don't know if there's any specific representation here of these individuals that Jesus specifies, but I think that we could have a somewhat of an understanding that the priest would be that of the church leaders. Oh, that gets me off the hook this morning, someone said. I'm not a church leader, I'm just a bench warmer. Well, here we find that this could very well be representative of the church leaders. And you know, the first thing that comes to my mind here, and this is sad. I'm talking about the church leaders, the priests, that's what he said. But the church leaders, this is one of the sad things about being in my position. This church leader took this particular situation and he went home and he wrote a sermon and used it as an illustration. Well, what's wrong with that? A lot of good stories are around us. Is that right, Brother Sankey? A lot of good stories around us. It's good for us to take the stories of life and apply them in our preaching and in our applications of God's Word. It's a good thing to do that. Well, here's the priest. He's able to. Well, look, thank you, Lord, for that illustration. I think I'll use that next Sunday. I'm not thinking too much, though, too long here, that is what Jesus intended for that priest to get out of this story. Are you? Do you think that's what Jesus was wanting to be showing and giving as his answer to who is my neighbor? I don't think so. We find that this certain priest saw, I don't know how far he was away when he saw, but when he saw him, as soon as he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's a little comical yesterday. This is an illustration from life. A little bit of comical involved with it. My neighbor, you know, my good neighbor up here on the hill behind me. Not the one directly behind me, but the one off to the side, you know, the one right over here. He's not here this morning, so I can pick on Merrill. He pulled up out here with his four-wheeler, and he had something in a trailer in the back and behind his four-wheeler. And he said, I think we'll take care of this business right out here in the front of your house. And And I wasn't catching on real quick what he was talking about, but it didn't take me too long to understand that what was going on was he had a live skunk in a cage, in a trap, and he wanted to let it loose right out here and let the guys shoot at it and take care of business that way. My good neighbor. My instinct was that as soon as I saw it, let's get away, let's just keep on going. It didn't take me long to see what the case was, to see what the situation was, to realize that I didn't want to be that close to it. Do you understand what the priest may have done here? As soon as he saw the need, as soon as he saw the circumstances, he said, I don't have time for that. I have got to leave for youth camp tomorrow. I don't need my vehicle smelling like that. I don't need it wafting into the house and messing with my clothes. No, I don't even have time to get it on me at this point. I have got other things to do. I've got important things to do, mind you. Do you see what we can do when we realize that the circumstances that we see in life stink? They're not pleasant. And I realize that if I get tangled up in that mess, it's going to really disrupt things. No, he didn't turn it loose over here. It wasn't shot over here. It was taken somewhere else. You can ask Jonathan the rest of the story if you'd like. Nobody came away injured. But the priest, as soon as he saw him, he went to the other side. Went to the other side. He had more pressing needs. He had more pressing issues. He had other important aspects. The guy is in bad shape. What can I do with him now? I really need to keep on moving. We have all sorts of reasons to stay away from the mess. Thank you, Lord, for causing me to pause this morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to see a glimpse of the less fortunate people today. Thank you for the awakening moment that I've had, but I've got to keep on going. And so as soon as he saw him, he recognized the problem was involved and he had to get away. And so he went to the other side and walked by. I'm taking too much time on the priest. We need to get on to the Levites. Who are the Levites? You say, well, from the Levites, they chose the priests. So, okay. We could summarize it by saying that the Levites were and are the church workers. Not simply bench warmers. Now, these are active participants in church. These people have something to do with church. They don't just attend just so that they can say that they attended church today. These people really have church at heart. These people have the church in the midst of their lives. It's the core of their lives. These are the workers of the church. These are the ones that will be signing up for VBS. I don't know how that slipped in there, but there it is anyway. These are the ones that are signing up for youth camp. These are the ones that are participating in the various aspects of church. And they're going to Faye and saying, I want to do something for nursing home service. I want to help you, even if it's nothing more than shaking hands with the residents. I want to be a part. I want to have a place. These are the church workers. So what happens to the Levite? What happens here in the story with the Levite? And likewise, oh, wait a minute now. That's not a good start to this part of the story. And likewise. Oh, no, he's talking about likewise a Levite came by, okay? And when he was at the place and came, and well, there you go, he came and looked on him. He didn't just immediately see him and go somewhere else. He came and looked on him. That's good. Uh-oh. It does go on there, doesn't it? And passed by on the other side. You know what we could say up to this point? That there's a lot of indifference from the religious people. There's a lot of indifference from the religious people. That's sad. heartlessness, we could say. We could call it selfless or selfishness. We could say it's a neglect of mercy. But we find that the Levite has something a little bit more than what the priest did. At least he had curiosity. You know what curiosity is. You go over to John chapter 12, verse 9, and some of the people came not only to see Jesus, but they came so that they could take a look at Lazarus, who was once dead. You know, there's curiosity that builds. Well, this guy had some curiosity. I wonder what happened here. Take a look. Oh, I'll bet his arm's broken. His leg's probably broken. Oh, I'll bet his nose is busted up pretty bad. Looked on him. I wonder how long he looked on him. I wonder how long he scrutinized him. I wonder how long it took for him, for his curiosity to be satisfied. But very quickly we find that there was no pity. There was a lost opportunity. There was selfishness here. We really would struggle in this part of the story even to find human compassion, wouldn't we? Human helpfulness. Humble service is non-existent here. We really don't see much in this part of the story that's all that good. That's the Levites. How long do I need to stay at the Levites? You know, they're busy people. They got so many things to do. Got so many places to go. Shoo, thank you, Lord, for helping me to see a glimpse of the less fortunate. Thank you for allowing me to recognize that there are hurting people. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to realize that I am blessed. Oh my, so blessed. Aren't we blessed? Don't we have so much? Hasn't God just poured out and poured out and poured out? Oh, I know that there's some times that there's hard places, and sometimes those hard places seem to be unbearable. Sometimes in the midst of those hard places, it feels as though the heart is literally breaking. But all in all, we're blessed. Here's one that is nearly dead. Oh, Lord, you've blessed me so much there. Looked on him. That's all that it says. That's all the commentary is, that he looked on him, giving us the understanding, or at least a little glimpse into his soul, that curiosity was there, but that's all the more that it was. Sometimes people ask questions not because they care, but because they're nosy. I don't know where that came from either. But then we find that a certain Samaritan. Now Jesus just gives us a picture of the church world here. He's giving us and painting us the church leaders, the church workers, and then he gives us a certain Samaritan. Now we must understand that these Samaritans were a different sort of people. They were different in that the Jews hated them and the Samaritans probably equally hated the Jews. It was probably mutual both ways, same amount. There was no great love between them, but a certain Samaritan saw. Now let's give the Samaritan the benefit of the doubt here, realizing that maybe he saw this individual but did not know that he was a Jew. Maybe. It really doesn't specify all that, does it? It just says that a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, it doesn't say that he passed to the other side. It doesn't say that he looked on him or he looked him over or he was caught up by curiosity. But it says that when he came to where he was, he saw him. He really took in the circumstances. He really allowed the situation to infiltrate and saturate and really get into his mind, into his thinking. It was really something pressing upon him. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I don't know how to define compassion. I think a person knows that there's compassion there when they experience this kind of compassion. This thing comes from the depths. Matter of fact, there's several times in Scripture that it speaks about compassion, this particular word or the meaning of this word. It uses it from the very depths using the word bowels. Now that may gross us out a little bit, but it's talking about something that is deep, something that is inside, a compassion that is at the very heart. Bowels of mercy, it's the same word. Bowels of compassion. Or another place it says bowels and mercies. You know, it's just speaking about the same thing. It's something that comes from deep down inside. Moms are probably more compassionate than dads. Some dads have compassion, maybe more than moms. Well, get up and walk it off, kid. A lot of compassion there. Jonathan broke his nose 3 times as a kid. The second time it was broken, we took him to the doctor, took him to the surgeon, whatever. They set it. They did the best they could. You know, they stuffed all that wattage stuff up in his nose and put a little steel thing on the outside. And then when the doctor said that it was time to be removed, everything was supposed to be all healed up so nice and pretty. And he began to pull those things out, and Jonathan's eyes got big around his softballs. And my heart was kind of grieving with him. There was some compassion there, a little bit of compassion there. I felt for this kid. He was what, 7 or 8 years old? I don't remember how old. Just a young chap. His eyes got big as saucers when they began to pull that stuffing out of his nose. And it just kept coming. 1 week to the day, he broke his nose again. And my compassion was gone. I said, son, you're going to have to live with it. We're not taking you back and getting it fixed again if you're going to break it within a week. That's probably a poor decision, probably a sad choice, because living with it isn't the most pleasant thing. Kind of hard to breathe sometimes. Can't live without breathing. But compassion, you know, some people have compassion that comes from the depths. And when I saw his eyes, great big, I felt a little bit of compassion there. This word compassion takes us beyond even the point that I felt a little bit of his pain, trying to feel a little bit of what he was dealing with. This point of compassion means that I put myself from the depths of my feeling right into the circumstances of this individual. Now that is not easy to do. This Samaritan did not have any latex gloves. This guy was bloody. This Samaritan did not have much of anything to offer, but he had something, and so he provided it. And what he didn't have to provide, he gave towards that need. You know, it's good when we got past the offering plate, isn't it? Oh yeah, we can give towards the need, and that clock is moving so rapidly. Give towards the need, but this Samaritan had some things, and he went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast, and he brought him to the inn and took care of him himself. There's all kinds of stories of taking care of people that are in need. Today it seems to be as though it's too frightening to take care of somebody's needs. You know, we shouldn't stop and help somebody along the road because it may be an ambush. It may be something that's problematic for me. It's not just that I'm going to be delayed going to where I'm going, but we think of all these horror stories. Sometimes they may have been real somewhere along the line. I guess we ought to live close enough to God to hear Him speak to us. Suppose that some people at church thought it was crazy when on a Saturday evening, my kids and I, traveling in Evansville, driving through the downtown, we saw this young woman, basically a girl, sitting on a curb crying. And my kids were with me. They were just little kids. And I turned around and went back and talked to the girl and found out that she had just been kicked out of her car, literally kicked out of the car as it was moving down the street. Didn't have anywhere to go. And I said, get in the van, would you? Just come home with us. And she slept on the couch. We went to church the next day, and she was still sleeping on the couch. I said, well, that's crazy. Maybe. We eventually lost touch with her. Don't know where she is today. But sometimes compassion causes us or calls us to go beyond, to reach into their world. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host and said, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He looked on him with compassion. And I heard somebody recently say, with compassion that caused him to make contact and to show care, which cost him something. Caused him to make contact and to show care, which cost him something. And Jesus said, go and do it. Go and do thou likewise. There's a hurting world. In a few weeks, we're probably going to hear some stories of hurting people in Haiti. I look forward to hearing the report of these ladies of going to Haiti on this trip and the transformation that'll take place in their thinking, in their minds. Oh, not that they are selfish and recluse now. I'm not suggesting that. It's just that when you see on that level, it changes our perspective. But we don't have to go too far. We don't have to go too far to find hurting people, suffering people, bruised and beaten, cruelty and wounds of this world and sin that have damaged the individuals. What are we going to be? Are we going to be those like the priests and the Levites that saw and quickly left or had curiosity and then left, or will we have compassion that causes us to have contact and to show care, which costs? Stand with me this morning.